to God. But you're going to find here that basically many people will title this chapter as the sinner's guide, and how that everybody who is a sinner needs to look at this chapter and realize that David and how he faced that sin in his life and how he dealt with that, and then how in return we need to look at our own life and to realize as a sinner a lot of great truths that we can find here. Now, first of all and foremost, we've got to acknowledge this morning, and we have to admit this morning, we're all sinners. Sometimes it's a little difficult sometimes for us to admit, but it ought to be something that we are acknowledging in our life, that we're all sinners. We sin. We have a sin nature. Even David's going to admit to that in this chapter. But not only that, and sometimes we don't need to just blame it and say we have a sin nature. We have to realize we make sinful choices in life. We don't do as we should. We sin against God. We sin against each other. We sin against others that are around us. And we have to acknowledge that, and we have to acknowledge this morning that this is a chapter that we all need to look at very seriously, because we all deal with the sin problem in life. Now, may I also remind us this morning, as we look at this chapter here, that David is also known as the man after God's own heart. And I think that in looking into this, and I'm going to kind of reveal a few things that I've even kind of gained from studying this chapter a little bit more in depth, and that is when we sin and we acknowledge that sin, and often we pray and ask God for forgiveness of sin, you're going to find that to be present here in this chapter, but you're also going to find that David goes much further than just asking for forgiveness. You see, David was one that was very, very convicted of his sin, and he was also one that wanted forgiveness, but David wanted much more than just forgiveness. David wanted to go further, get away from that. He didn't want to recommit the sin. In fact, he wanted his relationship with God to strengthen through it, not wean from it. So we'll find here that there's some very, very important parts in the life of David. And it's very in-depth, if you would, in his request of forgiveness. You're going to find that David was very repentant in his heart here about the sin that he had committed, and how that he needed God not only to forgive that, he wanted God to cleanse him, to wash him, to blot out that sin in his life. I mean, David goes the extra mile here as he confesses his sin unto God. As I study the chapter and read through it, one of the main things that I've gained, it's amazing how the Word of God speaks to an individual. You can read the chapter and gain a very important point that maybe I overlook, or vice versa. We all understand that this morning, but I am amazed here and even convicted often of how that we tend to just think of, we sin, we pray, we ask God for forgiveness, and we just go on our merry way. David was very, very, very concerned about his condition before God. And I thought to myself how lacking maybe in my own life sometimes that I find myself in not worrying or not looking at my real relationship with God. And David did not want that relationship to be severed. In fact, his relationship between him and God was not what it should have been. And he wants that relationship restored once again with God. I also read the chapter and I come away with rejoicing and knowing that we can have that very close relationship with God. Even though we sin and even though we fail, And by the way, you know, isn't it amazing sometimes we'll pray and we don't like to use the word sin. Well, my faults, my shortcomings, my stumbles, my this and that. I mean, we've got to acknowledge this morning, and I'm not against those words, but we have to be able to use the word sin. We sin before God. So let's look at the chapter here of David as his sin has been revealed. He realizes that it's not a secret. He finally acknowledges here that God knows everything that's taken place. And then we find here the response of David. Look at verse number 1. He starts off and he says here, "Have mercy upon me." Now we could just stop right there and just preach and teach the entire lesson on mercy. Praise God that God is a merciful God. David knew of the mercies of God. David wanted the mercies of God. And we find here that David is asking, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David here was begging and asking God for mercy. And may I say that we often find ourselves begging and asking God for mercy. And praise be to God this morning that God gives mercy this morning. I've often made mention that it's amazing how often we find ourselves begging God for mercy and we beg God for forgiveness, but how very little mercy and forgiveness we give to others. Well, mercy is a wonderful word. It's a wonderful message. And David was someone that understood and knew a little something about mercy. And we find in verse number 1 that he's begging God for mercy. He's asking God to take the transgressions in his life. And he had transgressed many people, not just one, but he transgressed against God and all the others that he hurt through this ordeal of this period of time in his life when he was very far away from God. You've got to realize here, we're talking about David. And how that he committed adultery. David actually conspired to have her husband murdered. Now we look at something like this and say, "Man, I've got some sin in my life, but boy, I don't have anything that big." Let me say this morning, sin is sin. Do you realize this morning the very sin of lying has sent your soul straight to hell? He goes on. Look at verse number 2. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." It's amazing that David is asking for God to give mercy. David here is asking God for mercy. He's also asking that his sins could be blotted out. And we find in verse number 2 that he wants to be washed. And he says, "Thoroughly." Now, that's something that you don't find very common from people today. How quick we are to run to God in a short little prayer and admit, "Oh, I sinned, God, please forgive me." And we jump up and walk off thinking everything's just hunky-dory in life. And I'm not saying that God doesn't forgive us there, but you've got to understand and realize here how deep David goes in conviction of sin and wanting forgiveness of that sin. In fact, David didn't settle for just forgiveness. I mean, he wanted it blotted out. Not only did he want his sin blotted out, but he wanted his own life to be washed clean by God. I don't know about you this morning, but David's pretty serious. And you got to be careful sometimes in asking God to wash you. Because God is going to wash some dirty places in your life that you didn't even realize were dirty. God's going to convict you of things that you didn't even realize you had a problem with in your life, and things that you've committed and sins that you committed in your life that you never thought a second thing about, and how God starts to reveal them unto you. And when God starts a cleansing process, and that's what David is asking for. David is asking for God to put him through a cleansing process. It's not just forgiveness. He wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be washed. He wanted the sins to be blotted out. I mean, David is going through a ritual here of where he wanted his life to be completely right with God when it's all said and done. How often do we find ourselves asking God for forgiveness of the same sin over and over and over and over and over? And I think sometimes to our discredit this morning that the reason we do that is because we never ask God to go through the cleansing process. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. We're not going to like the cleansing process. You see, we want forgiveness, but I'm afraid so often we stop right there. We don't want to go any further with it like David does. David wants to be completely restored before God. How often are we guilty in life of, we don't really want to be completely restored, we just want it to be forgiven so we can kind of break even with God, so to speak, and go on in our life. David wasn't going to settle for that. David goes much, much, much further. I'm afraid often we can read through this chapter and just find, boy, you know, there's David. He confessed his sin, asking God for mercy. Boy, he's asking God for a lot more. Now, I would agree with David here. It's pretty good and pretty wise to ask for mercy first, because he's going to need the mercy as he gets down through this chapter, because he's asking God to go very deep into his life. Look, if you would, with me, he continues on in verse number 2. Wash me thoroughly. Now, I believe the word thoroughly here means, I mean, anything in my life that's not right, let's get it clean. God, if there's anything else inside of my life, outside of the adultery that I committed and the conspiring to have a man murdered, if there's anything else thoroughly, I mean completely, he didn't want just a one-time little forgiveness hit on one thing he committed in his life. He wasn't just asking God to forgive me of the adultery, forgive me of the murder. I mean, God, David is asking God, if there is anything else, thoroughly wash me. Is anybody, you'll notice on washer machines nowadays, we've gone ours, it has different selections for a wash cycle. Sometimes, if I'm in a hurry, I'll put it on what we call a quick wash. There are some times when my clothes are really dirty, a quick wash isn't going to do it, and I have to go the extra mile and put it on heavy-duty wash. And using that as an illustration, David didn't want a quick wash, he wanted the heavy-duty cycle. Now, when you get the heavy duty cycle, you're going to get about 3 times the water. You're going to get about 10 times probably longer on the wash time in the cycle. And a heavy wash cycle on a wash machine is going to give a lot more than just a quick wash. But here's where we're at in society. We all just want a quick wash. That's why everybody runs to church. They feel like they've done God a favor. They throw a dollar bill in the offering plate. That satisfies God. They run back off and do the same thing the next week. You know what they want? They just want a little quick wash. See, where we're at in society, here's where we're at in Christianity. Very, very, very few want a thoroughly cleansing and washing from God. Because God's going to reveal some things in your life that you're not going to like. And here's where it really gets tough. And when God washes and He thoroughly cleanses you, God expects a different life from you. And that's where we fail so miserably, because people don't want a lifestyle change. They just want a little forgiveness along the way. You say, well, David's sin was a lot larger than mine. You see, David's going a lot further than just those two sins that we talked about here with the adultery and the murder. You find David's going a lot further than that. You see, in verse number 2, when he says, wash me thoroughly, what's he saying? He's saying, put it on heavy-duty wash cycle. Throw in some extra detergent. Put some bleach in the water, if you will. And I'm using this as an illustration here. But David wants to make sure when the cycle is complete that he is clean. Let me ask you this morning. I've had to ask my own self. How long has it been since we've gone through a request of God to thoroughly? Don't leave anything out, God. Let's don't bypass anything. Let's don't let some stains remain. I want to be thoroughly washed and cleaned. He uses the word blot. The word blot means to erase. It means to, everybody I think understands the word blot and what that means, to blot out. David didn't want any marks remaining. David didn't want any stains to be still present in his life. It's amazing how deep and how far David goes. Could it be this morning that's maybe why that David is known as the man after God's own heart? David wasn't a perfect man by any means. David had the same struggles that we all have this morning. Verse number 2 again, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Look at the words that David is using. We've only read two verses here. He speaks and asks, he requests mercy in verse number 1. He speaks of the loving kindness of God. Maybe David is trying to remind God that you're a merciful God and you have loving kindness in you, because David realized how dark he was and how sinful he was, and he was going to need some mercy and he was going to need some loving kindness from God to blot out. He goes on in verse number 1, talking about the tender mercies. He talks about blot out in verse number 1, and blot out my transgressions. Wash in verse number 2, thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. So he's using all these different words to describe his need in his life on his sin. I don't know about you this morning, but it convicts me of the process that often we find ourselves, or I find myself, in requesting forgiveness from God. You know, sometimes I walk away from this chapter and looking into the life of David, and I wonder sometimes in my own life, in asking God for forgiveness, I wonder, you know, how does God view that? Does God look down and say, well, he's not really serious. He's just, you know, he's just going through the ritual and the motions. So often we're guilty in Christianity, we just go through the motions. There's nothing real. There's no substance to what we're asking or requesting from God. But you'll find in the life of David, he's got some substance of what he's asking for here. Verse number 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You know, it all starts primarily with just acknowledging our sin. I mean, one of the hardest things sometimes, you take a child, it's almost impossible to get a child to acknowledge that they've done wrong. Here's what they'll say. Well, so-and-so was doing it. Well, I wasn't going to do it, but so-and-so, I mean, it's always somebody else's fault. And we all know that to be true, and it's very difficult in working with children and teenagers sometimes, because they always want to put the blame on somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. It's spilt over into society, and that's why we blame everybody else for everybody else's problems in life. Nobody wants to accept responsibility. And listen, you'll never be cleansed, and you'll never be purified, and you'll never have it blotted out until you first acknowledge your sin. That's difficult. It's not easy to acknowledge who you really are, because we try to paint ourselves out to be somebody pretty good when we're, as I think Brother Richardson mentioned just the other day, I mean, our righteousness before God is like filthy rags. You see, we get all cleaned up, we get dressed up, we go off to church, and sometimes I believe that we hide behind our attire that we wear to church and thinking we're pretty good when we're not pretty good. Well, I'm better than most people. See, there we go. We always want to blame somebody else. Well, at least I go to church. Most people don't even go today. See, we're always wanting to blame somebody else. He goes on, and I'm going to get behind here. Let me just go on here. He acknowledges in verse number 3 his transgression. He acknowledges here that sin is ever before him. He goes on in verse number 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He even acknowledges the sin nature that he finds himself in. He goes on in verse number 6, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Look at verse number 7, purge. I read through this chapter and I find a lot of words that I very seldom find myself using in my prayer life. Purge me. When you start asking God to purge, dear friend, you are really getting down to some deep water. See, he's gone way... Do you understand and see here how that David has gone far beyond just... And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling asking God for forgiveness. But you have to realize and see here how far David goes in this time before God in wanting his life to be straightened out before him and God. He asked in verse number 3, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. And that was David's desire. David wasn't asking just for forgiveness. He wanted to be clean. I mean, David wanted to say, hey, God, I want to stop right here. David was someone that he didn't want to leave the presence of God, if you would, without the cleansing. He wanted to be clean. He wasn't wanting just to step up and say, well, I went through the process. I asked God for forgiveness. God is a just God, and God's going to forgive me. I mean, he wanted, when it was all said and done, he wanted to be able to walk away from God knowing that he was clean. Be honest today, we don't talk a lot about that. I mean, we love talking and preaching and teaching and meditating on forgiveness and God as a forgiving God and forgiveness as a topic. We love that. But boy, we very seldom ask God to do any purging. How often do we pray and say, God, purge me? I mean, when you start purging, dear friend, you're getting down into the deep parts. It's not just a little cleansing on the outside. I mean, our prayer life so often when it comes to asking God for forgiveness is so shallow, we just want God to kind of knock the dust off a little bit. And that's about as far as we go in our prayer life. And here David is stepping off into deep water, asking God now to purge him, he says in verse number 7, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. See, he keeps using the word clean. He wants to be clean. You see, when you go to God now in your prayer life and realize how that David went much further than forgiveness, he wanted to be clean. He wanted to be cleansed in life. And boy, if you go to God with that kind of a mindset, you're going to find out that it's a lot more than getting the dust knocked off. Verse number 7, once again, middle of the verse, wash me. Second time, he's already asked God another time, wash me. Look at the words David is using in this one chapter. Wash me. Talking about a second time. You put your clothes in a washing machine. I hate to use this as an illustration, but it kind of pops to my mind. I put it on a normal wash cycle, and it'll go through the wash cycle, and then it'll spin out. And then it put water back inside there, and it'll wash through it again and spin it out. And then it goes through the rinse cycle and goes through all these different cycles to try to get my clothes clean. And I like that. When I put my clothes on, I want them to be clean. I mean, I don't want to go to the drawer and pull out a pair of clothes and put on clothes that's dirty. But often that's how we live our Christian life. Way too many born-again believers are walking around in dirty clothes, spiritually. Here's where we're at. Well, they're not as dirty as so-and-so's. Am I right this morning? Do we not find ourselves as believers getting up and going through the day and we're still wearing the same old dirty spiritual clothes? Well, they're not as bad as they were yesterday. I got a little bit of it removed. David didn't want a little bit removed. David wanted to be clean. Look, if you would, he says, purge me, verse number 7. Why does he want to be purged? Because he wants to be clean. He asks another time here in verse 7, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. See, David wasn't asking God for little surface repair. David was asking God to completely cleanse him of all sin. Look at verse number 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. It's interesting here that David asked God, God, make me to hear. You see, this morning, sin will deafen you. Deafen's a word, isn't it? It'll make you deaf to the things of God. Sin has an effect on us whether we want to admit it or not. When sin dwells inside of us and we live in sin, or we live in unconfessed sin, or we live in a sinful state in life, I promise you it will drive you from God, not to God. It deafens you to the things of God. It will deafen you to the voice of God. It'll even deafen you to the man of God. It'll deafen you to the message of God. That's how sin works. I think David, this is my personal opinion here, I think David is admitting here that he needs to be able to hear God. In order for David to be able to hear in verse number 8, he needs all this cleansing to take place in his life. He needs his sins to be blotted out. We find he uses the word, blot out in verse number 1. He uses the word wash in verse number 2. Thoroughly, by the way, we need to underline that. Cleanse me in verse number 2. He acknowledges his transgressions in verse number 3. We go on and on and on. Verse number 7, he asked to be purged in verse number 7. He asked once again to be washed in verse number 7. And then verse number 8, he said, oh, by the way, God, help me to be able to hear, because it's very obvious I have not been listening to you. That's why I have the problems I have. I've got news for you. The sin in David's life was not something that God instructed him to do. He wasn't listening to the voice of God when he committed adultery. When he had a man murdered on a battlefield, it was not by the instructions of God. David made a choice. And the reason David, I think, made that choice is because he had a deafened ear towards God. It's interesting, verse number 8, he asked to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And I find the word rejoice also listed here in verse number 8. I honestly believe that David wanted his relationship restored with God to the point where he could actually rejoice again. If you study the life of David from the day that he committed that sin with Bathsheba, you'll find that he lost that joy in his life. And David knew that it was missing. But David wanted it once again. And by the way, dear friend, as a child of God, you can have that joy once again. Verse number 9, you'll find the shame in the life of David, asking God, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. All of them. God, any iniquity in my life, God, please blot it out. Let's go ahead and get it over with. Let's go through the process. Let's go ahead and get my life cleansed. Get it completely right with you. Get every sin taken care of in my life. David wanted to walk away with a brand new step with God, and it took this process of cleansing to get his life to the point where he could once again step away from that moment knowing that he was right in the eyes of God. May I remind you that David's a murderer. How would you like to have David in your church? You know what the first thing that we would probably do in our church, if David was a member, better watch your wife around him. Am I right? I don't think I'd let my children go home with David today if he's a murderer. But isn't it amazing how far the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness of God can go? How many people today are living a life thinking, you know, I can't be used of God, my past, I've done some bad things. Dear friend, there's not anything in your life that you've done that God can't forgive. Well, so-and-so, don't worry about what so-and-so thinks. You're right, there's probably going to be some people in life, and I'm guilty here, that it's hard for me to forgive people, but I'm glad that I serve a God this morning that knows what true forgiveness is all about. So verse number 9, he's ashamed. Hide, he says, of God, asking God, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity, he says here. So we find here that we use the word purge in verse number 2. He uses the word wash more than, twice, I believe, here so far in this chapter. He asks in verse number 8, make me to hear. Because sin has made it to where he probably hasn't been hearing the voice of God like he has in times past. He asked here of God to, I think in verse number 9 here, that David is voicing his shame in his life, his embarrassment before God. Look at verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities, we find here. Once again, he's asking God to blot out those iniquities in his life. Verse number 10, very famous, very well-known verse. Create in me a clean heart. How often do we pray and ask God, God, I need you to create in me a clean heart, because my heart's dirty. My heart is sinful. My heart is dark. And David requests a very well-known verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, David, he wanted to be different. David wanted to be changed. I believe that David wanted to be a new man when he got up from this time before God. It wasn't a little three-second prayer, God, forgive me for this sin. I mean, it was something that David, he didn't want to get up. He didn't want to walk away from the presence of God. He did not want to walk away from that time with God without being a changed man. And could it be this morning, the reason that Christianity, and I use that word loosely this morning, and our nation this morning is struggling so much. And by the way, dear friend, we're struggling in this nation in our Christian realm. I think everybody would agree with that. Anybody that thinks we're just doing super this morning, you need to get your head out of the sand. Could it be this morning the reason that we are powerless, that we don't see results, we don't see great things happening, is because our church houses are full of people that don't want to be really cleansed? We like the life we live. Here's where we're at. The reason we don't want cleansing is because we know that God's going to bring the light, this in my life, and I don't want to give that up in my life. And we wonder why we can't win people to Christ. Why our churches struggle. And dear friend, as the church house struggles, the nation struggles. And our nation is in a big struggle today. Society as a whole is struggling. We were at the Evansville Mall last night. If you don't think we're struggling, go sit on a bench and just watch. It's amazing. How society. My wife and I were talking just last night about, we're amazed at the language that people use in public. It's a shame. Why is it that it seems like the lost has gained ground and the Christians have lost ground? Could it be that we as believers are walking around, we just want a little forgiveness every now and then from God so it kind of soothes our conscience, make us feel like we're doing okay and that we're doing pretty good, when it could be that we as a people should get before God in our private time with God and spend some time there, and you're not going to do it in 3 seconds. And go through this cleansing process that David is going through. Keep in mind, David wants to be clean. We're often, we get up, we're satisfied with one or two spots taken away. Now we got 20 or 30 more on us, but we're okay with that because, you know, we got two or three removed and we're doing pretty good. David didn't want any spots. See, David wanted to be transformed. David wanted to be a new man. We're just pretty satisfied with status quo. Well, I'm not everything I should be, but at least I'm not what I used to be. And we're satisfied with that. See, David wasn't satisfied with that. David wasn't, not one time do you find David comparing him to everybody else. Verse number 11, he asked, "Cast me not away from thy presence." See, David didn't want to leave the presence of God until the wash was complete. Until this cleansing process, and I've kind of even outlined, and I didn't use an outline pretty much, I'm just kind of going through the chapter here, but it's amazing here. I believe that you can go back and study this chapter, and if you'll read it over and over and over, you'll find there's a cleansing process taking place in David's life. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me." Look at verse number 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Verse 12, a well-known verse. We find here that David had lost that joy, and David wanted it back. But David knew there was a process that had to take place in his life if he's ever going to get the joy back. He realized and he understood here that he was going to have to go through this process to get that joy of thy salvation. And let me make a point here, make sure you understand, he's not saying that he lost his salvation. He lost the joy. And let me say this real quickly, there is not joy in sin. It'll steal you of your joy. I think there is pleasure, there's maybe fun in sin for a season, but payday always comes. But I honestly believe this, as a true believer, and I shouldn't say true, as a believer in Christ, someone who has put their faith and trust, I'm talking about a saved individual, cannot live in sin and be happy. I've had people tell me, I've been living this way for 20 years and I'm still happy. You may want to check up on your salvation, dear friend. It's impossible. Sin drives you from God, not to God. We find that, and by the way, I did kind of make a few notes here in my Bible. You'll find beginning in verse number 10 down through verse number 12, there's a renewal that takes place in the life of David. And praise be to God that God can renew us and make us new again. We've often heard preachers talk about how that God wipes the slate clean. And most people don't even know what slates are anymore. It's like a chalkboard, like a dry erase board, if you want to, this morning. And how God can take all your sins and put them on there, and God can erase them all off. Do you realize that we have access this morning to go to God and confess and go through this cleansing process as David did, and you can get back up on your two feet and be a new person, cleansed before God. You can have that same joy back once again. verse number 13, if you would, you'll find David's dedication. Then, right after all this takes place, all this cleansing, by the way, it's a long, hard process in the life of David, and he wants God to go to every crevice and corner and every place in his heart and in his life. He wants everything to be brought to the forefront. He wants a spotlight put on every square inch of his life. He wants it all to be revealed. He wants it all out before God. He wants it to be washed. He wants it to be blotted out. He wants it to be cleansed. He wants it to be purged. He wants it all taken care of. He wants to become a new man. He wants that joy once again. He wants that life once again. And now you're going to find David's dedication beginning in verse number 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I want to stop right there for just a second. I think everybody in this room wants and desires for people to be reached. We'll use those words in the church realm. I think everybody in this room would like to see people saved. I think everybody in this room would love to see sinners converted unto God. But how often do we see it? It's small. It's tiny, it's minute to the point in society today in the Christian realm that you almost have to have a microscope to see it happen. And I'm just going to throw, this is just my opinion here out of this chapter. Maybe it's something we can learn right here, because we find in verse number 13 that the verse starts with then. And the reason I think often we don't ever get to the then is because we never go through the process of the first 12 verses to get us to the point where we can have a then. And I honestly believe this morning the reason we don't see great things happening today is we are powerless. And the reason I find us very often powerless is because we never go through the cleansing process. It's like we're walking around with dirty, stained spiritual clothes, and yet we want to reach the world and ask the world to come and get what we've got, and the world looks at it and says, why would I want what you've got? I've already got that. It is a shame that we live in a society today when you can't tell saved people from lost people, where born-again believers and church-going people act like lost people. In fact, there have been times in my life where I have had lost people as an acquaintance that is a better testimony than saved people are. And could it be the reason that we don't see things happening like we'd like to see because we're not willing to go through the first 12 verses? Because we know, if we get down to all the nitty-gritty and start bringing out everything in my life, I'm going to have to make a change. And I just, to be honest with you, I don't want to make a change. And that's why there's no change in this world. For good, for God. Then, verse number 13, I got to hurry, my time's out. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So you can see here that David is a different person. And when he gets up from this cleansing process in his life, now in verse number 13, he feels like, man, now I can have an impact on sinners and those who have transgressed against God. I can teach them, I can reach them, and we can see people saved in verse number 13. In verse number 14, he talks about singing aloud about the righteousness of God, and he can boldly proclaim the righteousness of God in his life because he is a cleansed new man. Now, let me say this real quick. Now, you got to understand that there's going to be some people in society that's going to look at Dave and say, yeah, but you're that one that did so and so. You see, the world and Satan, he's always going to remind you of your past. Verse number 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. You'll find verse number 18 and 19, I got to quit here. You'll find that in verse number 18 and 19 that he actually ends out the last two verses praying for others. You see, I believe, if you'll mark verse number 13 in your Bible, I believe from 13 down through verse 19, it shows you that David is a new man. First 12 verses is getting David to the point where he can go out, beginning in verse 13, and make a difference in society. As I mentioned beginning here, and I'm done, some people classify this chapter as the sinner's guide to restoration. And if you want to be restored and if you want to become a new person, this is a chapter that you ought to study and read over and over and over. Our time's out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you bless our morning service. We look forward to all that you have in store for us today. We praise you, God, for the church. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask now that you bless work in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.